I think 5 or 6 years ago, my younger brother was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And for the longest time, he was a different boy. He was a little bit different in how he understood things, in how he got to learn, his experiences, in how his thought patterns were always organized, in how he expressed himself. So there was clearly, visibly, a difference with who he was.
Mujevale, Mujevale, Mujevale. My name is Barney Kibuka, and welcome to another episode of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show.
Welcome to my podcast. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. I recorded an episode that I usually share to people about mental health and one of my good friends, Tracy, reached out to me. I was like, hey, I know this person who actually can talk about that if you wanted to host somebody to talk more in depth about it. And that's how I got connected to you. So I know you by Dr. Jackie. Can you just tell us what your names are? That's what Tracy told me.
Yeah, she likes adding the doctor title all the time. I told her it's not necessary. My name is Jackie. My name is Kisache Jacqueline Nsanze, but everyone calls me Jackie or Nsanze.
I'll start right there. Like, how did that name doctor come up? Like, tell us a background about why is she calling you doctor?
No, I am a pharmacist by profession. And in Uganda, then almost everyone is called doctor, I really feel.
Okay.
But like, yeah. So in that way, I'm a doctor. So pharmacists here are called doctors as well. So that's why she calls me. But I don't think it's a title I've really earned. I feel like that should, you know, stay with actual doctors.
So Okube Mpiso, eh?
Yeah, something like that. But mainly, since I'm a pharmacist, it's all about drugs a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So pharmaceutical care in that sense.
Okay.
Maybe if you're into industry as well, making medications, but really I'm into clinical practice. So that's clinical pharmacy for me and just pharmaceutical care. Yeah.
I wanted to ask that because I didn't know if it was a doctor of but those who do master PhDs, stuff like that, doctorate. I wanted to make sure that's the title I knew.
No, I'm a bit too young for the PhD part, but hopefully like maybe 3 years.
Yeah,
sure thing.
No, you're never too young for anything. Like, people can be like anything at different ages. But I was gonna say, it's good that you talked about that before I go, because I brought you here purposely for mental health, but I wanted to get a little bit of your background before we go into that and for our listeners. And it's good that you mentioned about this health part of it. And recently Uganda was hit with COVID. How was that for you as a person in health, and in how did COVID treat you guys?
Okay, so I'll just answer it in a couple of aspects, because I think there is so much diversity to just looking at it in a health space kind of format. But let's just start with psychologically, emotionally, and people's spiritual well-being. So there were a lot of restrictions that came up because of COVID, because there was a need to curb the pandemic. There was a need to slow down the spread of the disease. And at the time, or still up to now, there is no cure. So it's really the main thing that we're trying to do is control the spread. So because of that, there was so many changes that people hadn't anticipated that just really caused a lot of detriment in terms of social well-being, in terms of psychosocial well-being, in terms of emotional well-being. So this was a new dynamic. People were used to seeing each other on a daily basis, and now we're being told to social distance, to only see people when you actually need to see them. So that in itself made people withdraw into themselves. So a lot of people weren't spending a lot of time with themselves. You know, you always, you know, wake up in the morning, go to work, come back, hang out with a couple of friends, come back home, hit the sack, and repeat. So people realized they weren't spending time with me. Like Jackie wasn't spending time with Jackie. And then with this new situation, you realize, okay, perhaps I don't like me much, or there's a whole lot of stuff I was pushing down that I hadn't realized before. So that just really pushed mental health in the limelight. I will say that so many people recognize that there's need for social connection, a sense of community, a sense of belonging, but that was really taken for granted because it just kind of happened by the way life used to be. Mm-hmm. So that changed a lot of things. In the health sector as well, given that I'm a pharmacist, I really would look at things like supply chain. It was a terrible time for us because medications were barely entering the country. In a country like ours, in Uganda, most of the medicines are imported from countries like China, from countries like India, and all these places were banned from exporting goods, pharmaceutical APIs, which are things, the ingredients that they need to make medicines, or the medicines themselves, the generics that are mainly sold in countries like Uganda. So there was such a disruption in healthcare, in the sense that people were going to the hospitals and there wasn't much to offer because there was so much disruption all over the world and so many things weren't entering the country as well. So that also broke me in terms of, because I'm a healthcare professional, you know, my job is to make people feel better and to just purpose for that to happen and to see that because of all these things that we were trying to do to stop the spread of the virus, it also inadvertently did a lot of damage in other aspects of the healthcare system. Yeah, and as well, maybe lastly, I would speak of how did the pandemic, as well, I can say that so many people got to be more intentional about things. In the sense that now you know that, you know, I haven't talked to family in a long while and so many things could happen. You know, we're not sure of tomorrow. Life is precarious in such a nature. So people became more intentional and I love to see it. So while there was a lot of detriment that has come as a result of the pandemic, I really reckon that there is as well good, a ripple effect, hopefully, that we'll see even in the near generations to come of the good as well that has come out of the pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the way you broke it down and explained it, because there's no better way to explain it the way you did in different aspects of life. And I feel like our listeners can actually get a good picture of how this affected everybody, and like ending with the good things that people got out of the pandemic too. Like I like to say my podcast started out of the pandemic because we're locked down and I didn't have anything to do with my life. And I was like, you know, let me start a podcast. So now this is something I do to like empower other people that came out of the pandemic, like made us realize, oh, we got this time on ourselves. We locked in the house and some people got the good things out of that. But also to the negative side, some people lost lives and some people couldn't get jobs. But yeah, I like that you broke it down like that. Now, more so, I'm going to do a little bit of your background, like where you're from and where you went to like school and all that. You want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Why not? So I went to school in Namugunga, which was in my O level. And then for A level, I went to a school called Namugongo, Uganda Matters. And then later on, I did my uni at Makerere. And yeah, so I finished with a bachelor's in pharmacy. So perhaps our listeners would be wondering, why is this pharmacist talking about mental health? It's something really personal to me. As a person who has had mental health issues and who has a lot of family and friends close to me with mental health disorders and issues as well. So it was an area in health that I felt was highly neglected. And as I went through school, I recognized that there was so much neglect in the area, underfunding, and generally even in the curriculum, it barely has a lot of content or material spoken of because of so many things around it as well, given the culture in Uganda, and as well as just generally the attitude and the stigma around mental health. So because of that, I was like, this is an area that I feel like I would really make good impact. And since it has a cause close to my heart, I felt like it would be somewhere that I would really push for, regardless of the resistance I may be able to get. Yeah.
That is nice, actually, that you've introduced that. I had it down on my notes to kind of introduce, ask you, how did you end up wanting to go into the mental health since you're doing a different stuff? But I was seeing some pictures. First of all, I'm going to ask you, how did you meet Tracy?
Through a mutual friend.
Okay.
Yeah, she's such a character that really stands out.
Yeah.
So I met her with a friend of mine. So we were introduced, and quickly we really got to understand each other. And I remember I told her about the kind of work I would like to do, the kind of impact I hope to make in the mental health space, and she was really open to that. So that's how we met and how we connected, and nice. Now you know. We work together on some projects, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she's a really great person. I went to high school with her in Kisubi, and then we've been friends for a long time, like as long as I can remember. But yeah, I saw a picture on WhatsApp where you guys were doing some sort of charity. Would you mind talking about that? Like what kind of charity do you run and what's it about?
Okay. So I run an NGO called The Sanctuary. The name hopefully will inspire people to feel safe. So the point of the name was because for a very long time, mental health was something that was taboo in our country, never talked about, and people were scared to actually say that I'm feeling this type of way. I remember I had a friend at campus who on several occasions tried to commit suicide around 5 times in the time I've known her. And she tried to do it even a whole lot longer. And her parents kept on saying she was pretending. Yeah. Like she's just, how did they put it? Like she's just bringing problems that are not really there. They kind of didn't understand why they had the money, she was in a good school, she had everything she needed. What was causing her this much pain that would make her want to end her own life? So I looked at a person like that and I was like, oh my God, where does she go? Does she have a space that she can come and be bare and be vulnerable and explain to someone, while I have all this material stuff, I'm just not happy. Would there be a safe space, a sanctuary? So that's how that name was birthed, The Sanctuary. So that I hope that everyone feels so safe that they can be able to talk about anything and they can be able to get that help. So with that said, it's a mental health organization. Okay. A lot of the work we do right now is, one, people get in touch with us and say, okay, I have this challenge, and we do referrals. We link you, because as I said earlier, it's so hard to get good help. So we have a group of psychologists, psychiatrists, and other specialists that we work with. So when someone comes in and says, oh my God, I'm feeling this type of way, I'll be like, okay, so what ideally you need right now is seeing a therapist. Would you want me to connect you? And we do so. For those that can be able to pay for that kind of therapy, they do so. For those who can't, we have a program where we have sponsors who place money in the fund and sponsor therapy for other people. And what we try to do is that we try to convert as many people who go through those therapy sessions. So when you're coming on board and, you know, at the time, perhaps you don't have money for the therapy, we say, you know what, we have a sponsor that can get you through this, but we hope that when you get financially stable, when you get mentally stable as well, you would think back to giving back as well. So a lot of the sponsors that we have actually went through the program and they found help. And because of that, they feel like, you know what, I should sponsor a couple people or two so that they can get the help they need. There's so many projects in different aspects, because we feel like mental health is such a diverse aspect and in different areas. So we target workplaces. So we have employee wellness programs where we go to a workspace, teach them how to cope with stress, how to be able to manage their mental health and stuff like that. And usually, depending on what kind of understanding we have with a certain company, we can also have an in-house counselor or someone who the company can always call in case an employee feels like they need mental health help other than just, you know, the tips that we have been able to share, but something, you know, more long-term or maybe that kind of thing.
Yeah.
As well, we really recognize that a lot of the mental health issues we have as well stem from our parenting. With that said, this is really a touchy subject, but we have a lot of programs as well touching on parenting. Now, as I said, it's really a touchy topic because, you know, African parents do not like to be told they are not parenting well. It's not that it's not that the person is a bad parent. It's just that there's always ways we can improve and be better. As Jackie, I speak now, but there's always ways I can be able to improve. So that is what those parenting programs aim to do. Like, I'm a good parent, but how can I be better? And how can I be able to look out for certain signs that perhaps my child is not doing so well, or maybe they're being bullied at work, at school, at home, by their own siblings, or like, what can I do better as a parent? So we have programs such as those. And as well, we create awareness. So right now, the pandemic and everything, but we used to go to schools as well and just talk to children about what mental health is, what it feels like not to be okay, what we can do about that. And also usually we used to link schools with great counselors so that they can be able to offer that kind of psychosocial support to the children in school, because a lot of the issues we also go through later on in life are caused from high school. When you hear the bullying stories that go through the kids go through in school, it's just heartbreaking. And it's because we just don't have those kind of support systems at school. Like, teachers are cognizant of the fact that bullying is there and they do nothing about it. And I think there is, it's time that we actually do much more than just offer good sentiment, but actually have some action plans. So in briefly, that's what the sanctuary does. So last weekend, this weekend on Saturday, we were in Naguru, which is one of the slums in Kampala. So we had gone back to give. Like, every year we do a charity event targeting different groups, because we feel like mental health is important in each and every group. So this year's group was children. So next year, perhaps it could be teenagers, female teenagers who have gotten pregnant, or, like, you know, just different groups, sex workers, blah, 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 depending on which group that year we feel we need to target. So this year it was children, to just give back and just show love. But as well, it's a program because we wanted to be able to penetrate that community. We wanted to have a place to start. So we felt like, oh my God, let's just engage with the children and also teach them a little bit what mental health is, because explaining to a child to recognize that I'm not okay emotionally is quite a challenge, because they may not be as eloquent as I am. You and I may be able to eloquently articulate what you feel or why that is, but a child won't know. They'll just feel pain and not be able to articulate that. So we just wanted to be able to inform these kids, what do you look out for? And of course, we had a lot of fun. We played some games, we ate some cake, we ate some food. Our kids went back with gifts. It was really a lovely, lovely day.
Yeah.
Maybe also to just answer a little bit, I don't know if I fully answered why I got into this. Like I hinted on it a little bit. I figured you'd still ask, so that's why I didn't go into too much detail. Around 5 years ago, I think 5 or 6 years ago, my younger brother was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And for the longest time, he was a different boy. He was a little bit different in how he understood things, in how he got to learn, his experiences, in how his thought patterns were always organized, in how he expressed himself. So there was clearly, visibly a difference with who he was. It wasn't a bad difference. It's just that people always attack diversity, which is kind of absurd because that's the whole point of the human race. But when you are extremely divergent from the norm, then people just find a way to pick on that. So for him, that was his story. So he had his first manic episode around 6 years ago. And that is when we realized how hard it is to get just simple healthcare, to just get him the proper help he needed. So because of that, it really got me thinking. It really got me realizing that, whoa, there's just so much to do in this space. And you only recognize that when you have someone who is actually going through that. And I was like, you know what, I'm not going to wait for other people to have to first need this help, but let's just avail the awareness. Let's just avail that help and front it in people's faces, just the same way, like, you know, hospitals, clinics are everywhere. Even when you're not sick, you know where to go. So I felt like that was really, really needed, that mental health care is fronted everywhere, such that in case you need it, then you easily know where to find it rather than just having to look from scratch. And, you know, it's a whole process. It just adds to the turmoil that you're already going through because of this problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Growing up in Uganda, for me, nobody talked about the mental health. Like, nobody sat us down to explain what mental health is. And I just released an episode about my own experience, about my mental health issues. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to it, but I was basically just talking about how my background, like, I didn't know anything. And so just getting to experience it, like, more people in Uganda, that's why I wanted to bring you here, to just enlighten more about the listeners. I have a lot of listeners from Uganda and, like, listeners from the US that don't know about the background in Uganda and about mental health. You know, like, we grew up in families where if you have something going on in your life, your parents would say, hey, you suck it up, or be a big boy, or like, you, bachita chejo, like that chejo, like, be tough and stuff like that. But these things keep piling into you. And that's the reason why I wanted you to just talk a little bit about it. For the people in Uganda who don't know what mental health is, like, what would you explain to them? What's mental health a problem?
Okay, so I'll just explain it in this sense. I'm going to first of all just explain what mental health is. And then from that definition, we can then see what someone would call a mental health problem. So there are certain aspects that need to be defined for good mental health. And before I say this, I just want to emphasize that mental health lies on a continuum. That means there's days when you vacillate from good to bad. So there are extremes. There are good days, there are bad days. So mental health is a continuum. It's not something that's static, but Jackie may be in a good mental health state today, tomorrow, 3 days, 4 days later on, they're in a bad mental state, or it just keeps on accumulating. It's something that trickles down. So today, something triggered me, and tomorrow something adds on, and then that effect kind of in the long run gives you poor mental health. But let me just define mental health as defined by WHO and just add skeletons along the way. And then from that definition, we can then say what is a mental health problem, and then differentiate it from a mental health disorder or illness. So mental health is a state of well-being in which the individual realizes his or her own abilities, can cope with the normal stresses of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make a contribution to his or her community. So there are a couple of things that we need to highlight what good mental health looks like, what that state of well-being actually means. So one, an individual realizes their own abilities. So as Jackie, I recognize that I have these abilities, okay? Based off my strengths, because everyone is different. If you are an artist, if you are an academician, whatever you may be, everyone has their own abilities. So being able to recognize those abilities and realize them in the sense that I am acting, actively working towards realization of those abilities that I actually possess. Two, you can cope with the normal stresses of life. Life will always dish you a couple of curveballs, and that's just the truth. You will never have a straight path. There'll be things that derail you sometimes, but those are part and parcel of life. I think the beauty of life is appreciating the high moments, but for that to happen, you must have something you can be able to base it off of. In that sense, that there are bad things that happen to everyone, and it's not the best experience, but because of it, you appreciate the good times a little bit more. You are present in those moments. So with that said, can you cope with those traces that come along with life? So if you can, then you are in a good mental health state. Then can you work productively and fruitfully? So you've gotten a job that you're good at, it's in line with your abilities. Can you work and bear fruit, be productive in that place? Can you effectively grow? Can you be able to say, 2 years ago, I came in as this person. Yeah, 2 years down the road, I am a much better person for it. I've learned this. I've learned some management skills. I've learned some people skills. You know, just learning, being fruitful, and being productive. And then lastly, you are able to contribute to your community. Now, does this mean being altruistic or charity? No. But I think if we all do our part, all the things that we do coalesce and form or give a ripple effect that is eventually a contribution to the community. Mm-hmm. I will say that as a pharmacist, if I do my role, if a doctor does their role, I do my role, an engineer does their role, a lawyer does their role, all together, we are actively working to contribute to society. As an artist, are you doing the best you can to give entertainment to people? You are actively contributing to that community. If you are a ballerina, for example, or whichever the case may be, a violinist, whatever it may be, as long as you are working at it, it makes a contribution in the long run, in the grand scheme of things. So it's not necessarily just being altruistic or philanthropic, but really doing your part so that there's a contribution collectively as a people or as the human race that is impactful for everyone at large. Mm-hmm. So with that said, there are mental health problems and then there are mental health disorders. Now, those mental health disorders are the ones where there are diagnoses written down and usually a psychiatrist gives that diagnosis, or perhaps depending on who, a psychologist as well can give that diagnosis. So these are a little bit more extreme. That's where you'll hear people with schizophrenia, things like, you know, autism, things like, you know, there's just a wide group of disorders as well that we can't really just all go into, but we need to be able to understand what the disorder would be and then what then a problem will be. So as we had earlier mentioned, that there are stresses that come along with life. And at the beginning of that, when you are failing, your coping mechanisms are failing to help you push through or live a fruitful life, when your coping mechanisms are starting to break down and they're starting to be not as effective as they should be, then we say at that point, you are having a mental health problem. Usually people have mental health problems before then they get into disorders, though it's not necessarily the only trend that can happen. Some people are born with some of these disorders or whatever the case may be, but most of the times people start out with the problems. Then if those are not dealt with or their coping mechanisms are not fixed or they don't learn to get new ones to help with that particular time, then that can progress into a disorder. So then if I am overwhelmed at work and I am starting to become really burnt out, I feel sad all the time, I am not being as productive anymore, and generally the feeling of work gives me such a heavy spirit, then at that moment I can say that I'm having a mental health problem. Okay. That could easily be rectified with understanding your coping mechanisms and understanding the cause and then working backwards to see how you can be able to alleviate some of that pain. Yeah,
that's a good, it's good. I'm glad that I hosted you to explain that, because that helps me even to understand my own situation. Like when you're explaining, where do I fall? What does my situation fall into here? Is it a disorder? Is it a problem? Is it... But yeah, that helps me to understand, and that's why I want other people to kind of to get educated about it, because some people will just examine themselves to see where they stand and what you just explained and decide for themselves, where do I fall on this? Do I have this? Do I have that? And it helps them to understand. And like I mentioned earlier, that most people, like my audience in Uganda, nobody out there teaches kids what these things are. And most of these kids don't know that this is affecting their lives, or even the parents don't know. I was talking to my mom today and I was telling her how she used to beat us so hard, and she was just apologizing. I was like, no, I think that's how we grew up. But I feel like if our parents, they don't even know like mental health is a problem, like some of, and we have illiteracy, like the university school. But I'm glad that you mentioned that. So with that, what are the challenges to mental health like in Africa or like in Uganda? What do you say the challenges would be?
Hey there, I am Bonnie Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching my video, and don't forget to hit subscribe and share with a friend. Tune in every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time for a new episode about my podcast. And for more information about this podcast, follow me on my Instagram page at talk_show_256.